Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
I think a few minutes ago I'd asked you that you'd reviewed Kathy Beattie's personnel file, and you were, in general, you were familiar that she was counseled on two previous occasions. And having looked now at the policy of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, does it appear that on neither of the two previous occasions were her disciplinary actions filed in her personnel file or documented in any way?
I've not been provided any documentation to suggest that they were written up as is clearly required by the supervisor to make a record of the verbal counseling. If they exist, I've not seen them.
All right. I want to look at number four at the bottom there. It talks about an administrative leave being authorized to allow for a cool-down period. In your experience with HCA, is a cool-down period appropriate where an employee on the medical staff has documented anger management issues?
Objection, Your Honor. Relevance beyond scope.
Overruled.
403.
Overruled on all those bases.
I think a cool down period can be very helpful when emotions are escalated.
And have you seen in reviewing a personnel file any indication that Ms. Beattie was subject to administrative leave or a cool down period?
Not that I'm aware of.
Turning to the next page of the policy, number five. I just reference you for a second. Number five, it says, termination may be authorized after the preceding steps are completed, except for gross misconduct. So keeping that in mind, let's look down at E, which talks about gross misconduct. And seeing that, and then turning, if you could put up the next page, which continues with E, the top one includes engaging in fights or indecent, immoral, or abusive conduct while on All Children's Hospital's property. Having reviewed the corrective action notice of Catherine Beattie, and based on your experience, would you characterize what Ms. Beattie was disciplined for here as either engaging in a fight or abusive conduct?
Compound bleeding, Your Honor.
I guess it is a compound question, so why don't you break it up?
All right. Same predicate. You've reviewed these documents.
Yes, sir.
Would you characterize Ms. Beattie's actions as described in this corrective action notice as abusive conduct?
Just give me a moment to review the specific language.
And if you need
can
to see
you, can you,
the statement of specific misconduct,
yes, sir. Thank
top
you.
Box.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Clearly, the witnesses were made uncomfortable by the situation. As they stated in the report, the witnesses reported that they asked for them to take it to another location and reported that Kathy was very loud and aggressive. I don't know how their HR department would define abusive, but that's kind of has been used before, threading the needle. I don't know if it meets the definition of abusive or not, but it's certainly aggressive, as documented in the
All right. report. To be fair, if I understand your testimony, what is documented in her corrective action notice may not rise to the level of gross misconduct. Is that your testimony?
It is.
All right.
It's darn close, but it may not meet the threshold.
Understood. Let's talk about the Joint Commission and the role a Joint Commission plays in reviewing a hospital's performance.
Objection, Your Honor, for your approach.
Sure. The jury, I'm going to need you to step outside for a couple of minutes. Do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. Do not do the investigation and receive no information.
All rise. The jury is exiting.
The jury is out of our question, or out of our presence, Mr. Whitney. I've now stopped the clock, but I need to hear what you're attempting to do.
Do you intend that I ask the witness questions, or we send him out of the room while we discuss this? I just want to make sure.
I would prefer the witness be excused, Your Honor. I'm going to take a cue from this.
Well, okay. We're going to ask you to step out, but I might need you to come in and give me testimony outside the presence of the jury.
Yes, sir.
Outside our presence. Mr. Whitney, what is it that you're attempting to elicit out of this witness on this line of questioning?
Yes. I'm attempting to elicit testimony in rebuttal to witness Mr. Anderson's statements that the Joint Commission had found that Johns Hopkins met and exceeded expectations during the relevant period of time while Maya Kowalski was hospitalized.
Had met and exceeded?
Yes, sir. And this witness has direct knowledge to the opposite. Through his role at the time at Brandon Regional Hospital, he participated directly in a call with senior counsel at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, who explained that the hospital had been reviewed by the Joint Commission and was in the classification as immediate jeopardy. And these surveys, as their expert testified to, are conducted on a triennial basis.
So every 3 years or three times a year?
Every 3 years. And so when he learned of this, the look-back period included the time that Maya Kowalski was at the hospital and the time period in which they were found to be in immediate jeopardy.
On what basis?
His testimony will be that on a system-wide basis, there were programmatic failures that led to patient safety issues. That's his testimony. As I mentioned at sidebar, I've instructed him to stay away from specific mention of the Heart Institute issues because I know that's a sensitive issue. But the classification received by Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital by Joint Commission is fair game because their expert came in here and testified to the opposite.
Okay, I need to understand better where or how this immediate jeopardy alleged finding, what was it based on? Because this has the potential of causing problems with this trial on appeal. So let's be clear as to what it is that you are trying to assert here.
I'll try to articulate it as best I can. The Joint Commission issues certain ratings classifications for hospitals upon their review every 3 years. In this instance, in 2017, when they were looking back at previous 3 years, they found that this hospital deserved the classification of immediate jeopardy. I'm happy to answer questions. I don't know what else I can say
What generated the immediate jeopardy finding, if there is such a finding?
Yes. Well, here's the dilemma. Their expert testified that he had based his testimony upon summaries or outlines provided by defense counsel to him. I have the testimony. The Joint Commission...
It's Mr. Hunter.
The Joint Commission reports were not provided, not even to their experts. So the jury is left with a false impression based on the outline provided by defense counsel to the expert that they passed with flying colors.
Do you have any written documentation that would suggest that there's an immediate finding?
Yes, we do. And in fact, in his direct testimony previously, when he attempted to touch on CMS, Center for Medicaid Services, he was excluded from doing so because defense counsel said objected that this was referencing federal regulatory agencies. And then, on direct examination by defense counsel, they asked, so I want you to explain what the Joint Commissions are, but is all children's audited by federal agencies to ensure that they are in compliance with federal safety plans? So then they introduced the concept of federal agencies. So Mr. Corcoran, Dr. Corcoran, is in possession of CMS findings wedded to this Joint Commission audit that have specific findings. Again, I wasn't going to put all of that in front of the jury. I was going to keep it at a relatively high level. But I understand the court's inquiry.
Well, is the alleged immediate finding, is that having to do with something having to do with the Heart Institute?
Yes.
It's the best I can phrase that, and we could ask Dr. Corcoran's question, because he's much more knowledgeable about this, is that it's a programmatic issue. It does not say Heart Institute isolated issues in the documents that he has. It does not say that.
Okay, Mr. Hunter, first off, can you help me understand, was Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital under some sort of immediate threat finding by the Joint Commission?
I'm going to tell Your Honor what I know, and I don't know what documents.
Aren't
this doctor,
you the general counsel of the hospital, or
I'm outside counsel? I'm outside counsel, but I don't know all. I'm not general counsel.
Okay. I apologize, but help me understand. Was there some sort of?
There was a finding of that sort, and I don't know the specifics of it. Or at least I don't have them off the top of my head. There was a finding of that sort that was made that was a direct and virtually exclusive result of the issue over the Heart Institute. And that was the driving force both behind the inquiry and behind the findings that were made. And that was what the findings were based upon, as I understood them to be, Your Honor.
And is this during the relevant time period?
It was in part during the relevant time period.
Let me make sure I understand. Did the defense adduce evidence to have your witness bless the hospital and make it appear to the jury that everything was hunky-dory with the Joint Commission?
I don't believe so, Your Honor, but I was not in the room when Dr. Anderson testified.
I'm going to take a five-minute break.
If I...
5 minutes.
All rise. This court is in recess.
Everyone can be seated. I need to understand if this finding was specific to like a department or if it was more diffuse and more systemic to the whole organization. So I need testimony on that.
Understood.
Let's bring them on.
I'll be right back.
And we're doing this outside the presence of the jury. Let's have this witness come and say what he's going to say.
Do I?
Yes, come on, Doug. Mr. Whitney will go first, then Mr. Hunter will ask questions.
And the inquiry is limited to what the findings were.
What this is. I mean, just get to it really quickly because we're
sure.
Absolutely. Out of time. But.
I understand. Dr. Corcoran, through your investigation of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital and your role at Brandon Regional at the time, is it true that you became aware of the Joint Commission findings for the relevant time period?
Let him ask the questions. You'll get a chance, Mr. Hunter.
As a result of the investigation for this, yes, I became aware that there was an IJ or an immediate jeopardy.
And you've reviewed documents, although you haven't had access to the Joint Commission, you have access to, tell us what you have access to that you've reviewed, please.
So the only complete document was one that was presented in the newspaper, and that was the follow-up to the September Joint Commission visit where the immediate jeopardy was issued, and that...
But to be clear,
yes, sir.
You're not saying you only looked at a newspaper article.
No.
What document did you look to?
The newspaper printed the copy of the full 51-page report.
All right. Now, having reviewed that report, the primary question at this point is, can you describe what the specific findings were? And I'll direct you a little bit in that... Were these hospital-wide issues, or were they limited, and we're outside the presence of the jury here,
correct.
Were they limited to solely the issues with the Heart Institute that were covered in the media?
So I will tell you that an immediate jeopardy penalty or threat is issued when the problems are widespread and egregious. So typically that kind of a threat as high impact as it is reserved for systemic failures.
So when you say that, do I understand you mean that it's not limited to the pediatric cardiovascular surgery unit when an immediate jeopardy is issued and based on review of the 51-page report, it's
right.
Speaking to widespread issues within the hospital or hospital system?
Right. The adjectives that are frequently associated with IJ is widespread and egregious.
And
so by definition, it can't be an isolated occurrence to that happens once.
And within that document, were there also certain statements that were more or less acknowledgments by hospital leadership of the programmatic and widespread failures?
There was acknowledgment in the document itself that came out of an exit conference with the, I believe he was interim CEO at that point, came down from Baltimore, and he acknowledged that, and I don't have the quote because I don't have the document, but he acknowledged that their failures contributed to, I can't remember the exact term, but basically let patients down.
All right. Just moving.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Moving away from that quickly, and if the court wants to cut me off. I'm sure it will. With your specific experience at Brandon Regional Hospital, you had a specific conversation with senior counsel at the hospital at the time regarding these findings, did you not?
I did.
Who did you speak to at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital?
I was on a call with my CEO and with Jackie Crane, senior counsel at All Children's.
And through that phone call, is it true that she confirmed the findings of immediate jeopardy? Is that right?
Correct. She confirmed the findings of IJ and expressed optimism that they would that their corrective action plan would be accepted.
And so they had, this is typical as well, when a joint commission comes on like this, you have to develop a corrective action plan.
That's correct.
All right. And I just want to set up the reason for the call. If I understood, your testimony on in our case was that you had a partnership or an affiliation with Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. And so was it true that your concern and the reason for this conversation with Ms. Crane was that it might have impacted your hospital?
That's correct. As I testified earlier, we worked with Jackie Crane, we worked with Dr. Napolitano and others to help us build out not only the infrastructure but the talent to support the pediatric hospital within the hospital. If their IJ was going to be a factor for them, our concern at Brandon was that would this disrupt our operations of the pediatric care being administered.
All right. I will leave it there for the moment.
Mr. Hunter, any questions for this witness?
Yes, sir.
The document that you reviewed was printed in the newspaper?
The survey document was made available through the newspaper. That's correct.
Which one?
Tampa Bay Times.
And what period of time, well, when was the September review that you referred to? What year?
September
2018
was when the IJ was cited, was issued.
Okay.
And the follow-up survey that was published in the Tampa Bay Times was dated, memory serves, January 11, 2019. So about 2 months later.
Okay. So
I'm sorry. Bad math. 4 months later.
Okay. So the survey you're referring to occurred in 2018, and the follow-up was in January of 2019.
The follow-up visit in the first full week of January. I believe the visit dates were January 7 through 11, 2019, and that survey was in the explanation for the survey was in follow-up to the IJ from September of 2018.
Okay. And the report you're referencing came from who? From JACO or from CMS?
I believe that it was that the follow-up survey was a federal survey, CMS.
So the follow-up survey was CMS. What was the original survey, do you know?
I didn't have access to it.
Okay.
But IJs are typically issued by the Joint Commission during their triennial surveys or other surveys.
Okay. So you're not really sure who the IJ was issued by?
That's correct, because I don't have that document.
Okay, and you're not, but you do know that the follow-up was from CMS, but have you ever seen the actual report of the follow-up?
Yes, sir. They published the 51-page report.
Okay. So you saw the follow-up report?
That's all that I had access to, yes, sir.
Okay. So you never saw the actual IJ report?
I never saw the September 2018 IJ report.
Okay. So you don't know what dates that IJ report covered?
Well, the IJ report, or the IJ that was issued, came out of a September 2018 report. If it was part of the Joint Commission survey, and that occurs every 3 years for accreditation, but then it would have been the 3 years leading up to September of 2018, taking us back to 2015.
The operative word in that sentence is if. Do you know that, one way or the other? Not having ever seen the report?
No, sir.
Okay. So you can't tell this court for certain that that report was either A, Joint Commission as opposed to somebody else, or B, what dates it covered?
I cannot tell you with a 100.00% certainty that it was a Joint Commission survey. I can tell you that the overwhelming probability, because of the timing, because of the finding of the IJ, that typically would come from a Joint Commission visit.
Okay.
But 100.00%, I cannot attest to that.
You've never seen the document.
It's not been made available to me.
You've never seen the document, and you don't know what dates it covered.
It would cover up to the September visit that resulted in the IJ would cover the period immediately preceding, and in joint commission evaluations, they are 3-year lookbacks.
If it was joint commission.
That's what I said, sir.
All right. Do you know what the basis specifically was for what you're referring to as the IJ in September of 2017? Never having seen the report.
The character of the IJ was referenced in the first 3 paragraphs on page 1 of the January report. May I refresh my recollection of what that addresses?
I thought you said you didn't have the report.
I don't know, sir. You're not. Perhaps I'm not being clear today. I have the January 2019 report, which in the first 3 paragraphs, left top, on page 1, I addresses the immediate jeopardy, because that's the reason for the follow-up visit in January of 2019. It addresses the IJ and as the reason for the follow-up visit. So what I don't have, sir, is the September 2018 report.
So what you reviewed would tell you what the 2019 report said about the 2018 report that you haven't seen.
The first 3 paragraphs of the 2019 report reference back to the IJ being issued in September of 2018. I do not have access to the 2018 report.
Anything else, Mr. Hunter?
I think that's it, Your Honor.
Sir, if you could go step outside for a moment.
Yes, sir.
And Mr. Shapiro, did you say you had the transcript from the testimony of your expert?
Thank you, Your Honor.
That addressed this issue?
If you'd like me to, Your Honor, yes.
Towards the end of his testimony, let's see. The sidebar conversation, and then.
Well, at this point, I'm just concerned about what was referenced to the jury and the impression left with the jury.
Yeah, it was something volunteered by as you can see, for whatever reason, he volunteered some information. He was not provided. I don't have the data. He wasn't provided data. I think he was speaking generically about the fact that hospitals need to be accredited to accept funding. But, and for whatever it's worth, anyway, that's all I'll say. I think Mr. Hunter's proffer established that whatever this witness was talking about was 2018, 2019, but.
So, I'm asking the defense, was there an immediate finding issued by the Joint Commission?
Not in 2016, no.
well, it was 2018 that had a cover, a three-year.
It was related to the heart program, Your Honor, in 2017.
So the answer is yes. There was an immediate finding.
Well, that I don't know. I don't have the document in front of me, Your Honor.
Let me tell you where we're going to go with this.
Okay.
Most likely, if we can't come to an agreement as to how to handle this right now, I am going to direct the hospital to turn over all this information to the defense today, and then you're going to have a corporate rep sit for this, probably tomorrow or the next day. We will not close the evidence, and then we'll go for it. Because my reading of this transcript is the hospital has given the impression to the jury that everything was fine, and I am being presented with evidence that during the relevant period of time that your expert testified that it was fine, that it wasn't fine. Now, if it is specifically only to this one specific department, it probably is not relevant. But if it is a systemic problem at the hospital, that is relevant and it is a proper rebuttal case evidence. So either we can come to an agreement how to deal with this right now, or the hospital's getting a corporate rep for a deposition and we're not finishing today. Y'all want to take 5 minutes and talk amongst yourselves as to how you want to proceed.
All rise. Closing recess.
Somebody can go find the defense counsel, please. Mr. Hunter.
We're trying to gather details, Your Honor. So I'm going to tell you what I know so far, what I've been told. And we'll try to, I would like the court's indulgence to investigate this further, to piece it together. But what I've been, because I've got a bunch of details about this in my closed files that I don't have off the top of my head. The long and short of what I am being told at this point is that the IJ to which the witness is referring was not the result of a JCO triennial review. It was the result of a self-report that Johns Hopkins All Children's made regarding the Heart Institute, and the outcomes that were being reported resulted in the IJ before JCO ever came on site. Now, my understanding is, from what I'm being told, that it was the result of the Heart Institute and the outcomes in the Heart Institute, which I can tell you were bad. But the issue that was being addressed in the JCO IJ was indeed issued in September of 2018, but again was not from a triennial report, but was from a self-report. And then the CMS report in January was indeed in a follow-up to that. Now, there are phone calls being made. I'm trying to get the details verified because I don't want to mislead Your Honor anyway. I'm trying to tie this down as quickly and as efficiently as I can. But it is something I need a few minutes on.
Well, again, if whatever this is was limited to the heart department, whatever we call the heart department, I don't think it has anything to do with Ms. Kowalski.
That has been our position from the outset, Judge, and I thought I buried this Dracula several years ago, but I did handle a bunch of those things, and I know the dates, but I don't have them.
So, again, you know, obviously I want to finish evidence today. That might not happen, but if ultimately this is a more systemic issue, it's going to come in if it touches on the relevant time period. If it's something, conduct that occurred post the Kowalski stay or does not have some sort of reasonable tie back to the time, then it's not relevant. Okay? But is there anything we can do further with this witness and we can just finish him off and then let him come back later on today or Monday if necessary? Because there's other witnesses, and let's get everything as much as we can do.
I had one other area of inquiry outside of the Joint Commission stuff I was going to discuss with him, and that'll be quick, and then we can send him home today, and then we can call other witnesses.
And our interpreter's here, and we can put Alina Kushner on, and then Maya, and we'll be done.
Okay.
Well, subject to, obviously.
If this witness would mind staying, because if there is some sort of resolution of what happened and what this report, I know you might have to take their word for it. I don't know if that's going to be acceptable or not, but, you know, maybe they'll turn around and say it was more systemic and it's fair game. Maybe they won't. I don't know.
I have the CMS follow-up report in front of me, and it does not, even in my review here, utter the words Heart Institute. It's systemic, but we'll wait to see the 2018 that preceded this.
We'll have motions.
Okay, well, this thing kind of exploding on me on the last day of testimony. Look, the last thing I want to do is to make a wrong call on this issue, because this issue has the perspective of causing this whole thing to be done over again.
We understand the court 100%, and neither do we in any way, shape, or form. So whatever the court thinks is necessary, that's what we're doing.
Well, that's what I think is necessary. And if this witness, let's finish him off, with exception of the JCO and that other policy. Have we gotten the other policy yet? The one that was in archives?
To tell you the truth, Judge, I forgot all about that.
Well, I've emailed no. The answer is no, I don't have anything additional.
Okay. So perhaps the witness will be able to stay around. Can you go ask him if he can stay, sure, and or come back on Monday if...
He lives in Sarasota or Tampa, so I think it won't be a problem to come back. But let me check.
Well, perhaps let's ask him.
Your Honor, the witness can stick around this afternoon, and he could be available Monday. He has a doctor's appointment in the afternoon, but I assume we conclude in the morning.
It'd be first thing in the morning, if we have to do it. Let's bring in the jury.
Yes.
Hey, please be seated. Members of the jury, I want to confirm while you're away, you did not discuss this case amongst yourselves. You did no investigation and received no information. Is that correct?
Correct.
No one approached you, correct?
Correct.
And no review of any media, is that correct?
Correct.
Mr. Whitney, you may continue.
All right, Dr. Corbin, we're going to move away from the Joint Commission, and you may come back later, but we'll see. Let's talk a little bit about the Medical Executive Committee. If we could put up Exhibit 2142, please, alongside Exhibit 1079-0028. In your experience as a healthcare executive with HCA,
Are you familiar with the function of the medical executive committee within a hospital organization?
I am.
Your Honor, if it pleases the court, this is not rebuttal.
Overruled. You can continue.
And what? I also served on the MEC when I was in private practice for 4 years.
All right. So what years would those have been? Approximately.
1999 to 2003.
All right. What is the function of a medical executive committee within a hospital?
So as I testified earlier, the medical staff is self-governing. The medical executive committee...
I'm sorry, I must object. This is not rebuttal. He's already testified about this. This was not anything that was raised by the defense in the defense.
You may continue, Mr. Whitney.
So the medical executive committee is the executive leadership team for the broader medical staff, which can number in several hundred members. So typically there's about a dozen department chairs and other elected positions that function as the homeowners association for the medical staff.
All right, and so if we look at 1079-028 on the right there, section 7.1-2, responsibilities, and these were discussed yesterday. The medical staff executive committee's roles include C and D. If you'd highlight C and D there, please. Do those responsibilities of the medical executive committee match with your experience?
Please, Judge.
I'm so sorry?
May we approach?
Yes. You may continue, Mr. Whitney.
The pending question was, do C&D, or the responsibilities of the medical executive committee at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, match with your experience?
They do.
And can you expound on those a little bit for me? Try to put it in terms that I'd understand, please.
Yeah, sure. And as I was explaining in my original testimony, there are issues that the medical staff and the hospital administrative leadership and the hospital board, which is ultimately accountable for all operations, all progress. So the medical executive committee acts as that point of contact for the hospital leadership and the board leadership.
All right. If you could zoom out on that page. And then briefly, I just want to list some names here. If you could highlight these for me, Mr. Reyes. Joseph Perno, Anthony Napolitano, Jenny Dolan. You had the opportunity to hear Dr. Dolan's testimony.
I did.
Michelle Smith, Suzanne Jackman, Diana Young, Mark Cavett, Anthony Kreisman, Dipti Amin, and then if you would highlight Jonathan Ellen, President, and Mark Stroud, Chairman of the Board. Did you, is it your understanding that of those names I've just highlighted, seven of them had treated Maya Kowalski at one point or another at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital?
I will take your word for the number, but there certainly are a number of treating physicians listed as members of VMEC, yes.
What does it say to you about the operation of this hospital that on the medical executive committee, comprised in part of seven treating physicians, the issue of Maya Kowalski's hospitalization and her repeated complaints with risk management was apparently never discussed by the medical executive committee?
Objected. Argumentative, Judge.
Overruled. You can answer.
Thank you, sir. It's hard to imagine that a case that was this unusual didn't ping enough of the parties that were taking care of Maya in the hospital, that this never got escalated, talked about, awareness. We heard Dr. Perno, Dr. Napolitano, they never heard of this case. And this would have been a fantastic opportunity for the MEC to step up to its responsibility as overseeing quality assurance and performance improvement for the medical staff, and to share that information with Dr. Ellen and, I'm sorry, I can't Mr. Stroud, so that it was really being talked about, again, at a system-wide level.
Based on your experience, would you expect within your hospital that if you had seven treating physicians on a case as sensitive as this, that they would make sure that both the president and the chairman of the board had heard of this through the medical executive committee?
Same objection, Your
Honor. Overruled, you can answer.
I think certainly the CEO president should have heard about it. I've always been blessed with boards that are very involved and active, so in my facility and my facilities, I would have expected the board to be notified as well.
Based on your background, training, and experience, and your review of the records, do you have an opinion as to, and given the sensitive issues with Ms. Beattie's disciplinary history and Maya repeatedly raising issues to risk management, do you have an opinion to a reasonable management probability that the failure of the medical executive committee to address this caused or contributed to the harm of Mike Walski?
Objections beyond the scope. Argument of.
You can answer.
Thank you. I do believe that this failure on the part of the governing body contributed to why we're here.
No further questions at this time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Hunter.
No question this time, Your Honor.
Members of the jury, do any of you have any questions? Okay. Without any, if you could wait outside.
Yes, sir.
Plaintiff's your next witness in rebuttal.
Elena Kushner. And interpreter.
The oath to the interpreter first.
Just stand here. Face the clerk and raise your right hand.
Who's the interpreter? The interpreter.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will make a true interpretation of the questions asked and the answers given, and that you will make a true translation into English of any writing which you are required by your duties to decipher or translate?
I do. Okay.
Now let's swear in the witness.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
No. I do.
I work this way.
Please state your name for the record.
Elena Kushner.
And where were you born?
Ukraine.
In Ukraine. And where do you live now?
Venice, Florida.
How long have you lived here?
8 years.
All right. Now, just so the jury knows, do you have a son with a claim involving Nika, neurologically impaired?
No.
And I'm your attorney in this?
No.
You just asked me.
Let's just go. But
yes, sir. Yeah. Were you ever at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital for treatment for your son, William?
Yes, I have.
Do you remember meeting someone that, though you didn't know who they were at that time, you found out later was Sally Smith, Dr. Sally Smith?
Yes.
All right. Tell the jury what happened when you first saw this person that turned out to be Dr. Sally.
Когда я ее увидела, это была женщина немолодого возраста. Она пришла в белом халате.
When I saw her, it was a woman, not very young. She came in a white gown.
All right. And did she start asking you questions?
Да.
Yes.
And did she ever explain who she was?
Нет, она сказала, что она доктор, который работает в госпитале.
No, she said she was a doctor who was working at the hospital.
I see. And can you describe for the jury what she was wearing?
Она была одета в белом халате.
She was wearing a white gown.
С надписью госпиталя.
Did it have any type of insignia on it, if you remember, even colors?
Да, это был обычный белый халат, который все доктора там носили.
It was a regular white gown, so all doctors were wearing it there.
С надписью John Hopkins Hospital.
And it says John Hopkins Hospital.
Did you later learn that this doctor you met was in fact investigating
you? Yes, it was later.
And how long was it before you were able to identify this person that came in investigating you in the white gown to find out who she really was?
Это было пару недель спустя, и нам это сказал наш адвокат на тот момент, который вел наше дело, что она приходила и с нами беседовала.
It was a couple of weeks later. We were told about it by our attorney at the time that she came and was talking to us.
And your attorney identified this person to you? I'm sorry. Yes, yes. Were you able to confirm that this was Sally, Dr. Sally Smith?
Да.
Yes.
Your witness.
Good afternoon.
Здравствуйте.
Good afternoon.
Does Mr. Anderson represent you?
Да.
Yes.
Did he ask you to come here today to testify?
Он попросил вас прийти сегодня.
Ну, нам сказали, да, что проходить свидетелем по делу.
Yes, we were told that we would be witness in the case.
Were you given a subpoena?
Yes.
Thank you.
Anything further?
No, Your Honor. May this witness be without
members
of the jury? Do any of the members of the jury have any questions?
Yes, sorry. Seeing none, ma'am, you're free to go. You can be released from all subpoenas. Yes, she can be released.
Oh, they're not?
Oh, yes. Yes, please.
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just $10.
$10 for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest.
and there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at spinquest.com, SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit spinquest.com for more details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.